There is so much news happening all around the world and right here at home. Let's just get to what's trending.
What's trending? Back the blue.
So someone believed to be a suspect tied to the deadly shooting of Cowlitz County Deputy Justin DeRozier was shot and killed by an officer last night. 29-year-old Deputy DeRozier was shot on Saturday. He was investigating a disabled RV. He was shot. He was airlifted to Peace Health Medical Center in Vancouver. Unfortunately, he died during surgery. This is the first officer death that they've seen in something like 160 years in this department. Their undersheriff, Darren Ullman, he said DeRozier leaves a really, truly loving family behind.
Justin left a beautiful wife and daughter, 5-month-old Lily, who's always going to know what an incredible man her father was.
Police said that they found a person of interest earlier on Sunday, but the person was not in custody. Then a little bit later, we got word of an officer-involved shooting that took place in Kalama. Now, yesterday, I got a whole bunch of notes from people in law enforcement saying, don't quote me, but I think we just shot the suspect and we believe he's dead. And it turns out that that's exactly what happened. Cairo 7 TV's Ranji Sinha has more of what went down yesterday.
SWAT officers raided a home in the course of this investigation. It happened in Kalama last night around 5 p.m. on Vincent Road. They threw several flashbangs, entered the home. No one was found there. But a few hours later, around 7 p.m., officers were involved in a shooting on Spencer Creek Road, where a suspect who was possibly linked to this entire shooting incident was shot and killed.
So, obviously, as we get more details on what happened and why, we'll certainly deliver them to you. But just understand that this is yet another story in Washington State of a hero who chose to put on his uniform, who went into the office knowing that it could be the last day that he got to say he loved his wife, he loved his kid. This is a deputy, yet again, serving his community who was taken from us way too soon. 29 years old. So I want you to remember him. I want you to remember Ryan Thompson. I want you to remember all the fallen heroes and all the injured heroes. The next time you hear some council member in Seattle demonize cops, I want you to remember these people the next time you hear some activists who's complaining about how all cops are bastards, or all murderers, or all bigots. And I want you to pay close attention to the voices you don't hear when Shama Sawant comes out and calls cops murderers, brutal murderers. I want you to think about the voices you don't hear on that council or in the mayor's office who come out and say, that comment's uncalled for. That comment is disgusting. We will not let you demonize our cops. We will not let you demonize our sheriff's deputies. We will not let you demonize ICE agents. We will not let you demonize anymore. I just want you to think about these lives that were lost in service of our protection. Just remember that, because unfortunately, people like Shama Sawant and the people who let her say exactly what it is she wants to say without any consequence, I want you to remember that they get a lot of press, whereas people like this don't. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending in Seattle?
Mayor Jenny Durkin is a fraud. Mayor Jenny Durkin is running for higher office. She's sick and tired of doing this whole mayor thing. It's so hard. She needs a cushy job as a senator or as a congresswoman. And you can tell because of all the disturbing and disgusting and condescending and embarrassing pandering in an editorial she wrote in the Washington Post. And when I say she wrote, we should put a little asterisk by it and then put it right at the bottom, like whoever wrote it on her behalf and her staff. Because this dumpster fire of an editorial is just nonstop double talk. Because in the same breath, where she says how Seattle isn't afraid of immigrants and refugees. She gets mad that President Trump wants to place migrants who are caught illegally entering the United States into our cities. That trolling that President Trump did exposed people like Durkin. Because she didn't immediately come out and say, we welcome you with open arms. Thank you, President Trump. We would love to house these people. Instead, she says she's scared. She's scared of, quote, a president and federal government that would seek to weaponize a law enforcement agency to punish perceived political enemies. I'm sorry, but why do you, Mayor Durkin, why do you view bringing illegal immigrants to Seattle as punishment? I thought you were this woke politician. How would Seattle be punished in your eyes by welcoming folks in need, the kind you like to play white knight towards? Why would it be seen as a punishment? What's wrong? What's wrong with these migrants, Mayor Jenny Durkin? You see, in her zest to attack President Trump, she implies that it would be bad to bring illegal immigrants here. One might argue she committed a microaggression. She continues in this piece, Trump is demonizing immigrants and refugees to incite fear and to distract the American public from his own failures. Oh, that's interesting. Why do you think Seattle would be scared to invite illegal immigrants into a sanctuary city? Why do you think the voters, who are very progressive of Seattle, why do you think they'd be scared? Or maybe it's you that's scared because they don't look like you. I know you like to play woke politician, but is it possible because they don't look like you that maybe you're the one who's scared? Is this your implicit bias showing? What I find annoying in all of this, she goes out of her way, and she did it in a press release that she put out, to call out the president for using these kids, these family members, as political pawns. And I thought that that was rich coming from someone like Jenny Durkin, who used these kids and families as political pawns herself. But instead of me making the point, I want to give kudos to Saul Spady, the morning show host here. If you don't listen to the Saul Spady show, you're doing yourself a disservice. It's a really, really good show. Weekday mornings from 6 to 9. He went off on Mayor Durkin this morning. And I just want to play for you a short clip of it because he is so on point. This is from the Saul Spady show this morning.
Our mayor flew to the border after Trump had ended family separation policy, got ended while she was on the plane, and she went there and gave a press conference about how she was there because those kids needed a hug. Here's the solution. Our mayor was the one using those children as pawns because what she forgot on her flight as she was running away from her city that was dealing with rampant violence and dealing with family homelessness, that there are 2,000 kids in her city that sleep outside. Maybe some of them have their parents, but they're in tents. Many of them are going hungry and none of them have a warm place to sleep at night. If our mayor had a sense of humanity, she would have at very least noticed that those kids on the border were inside with three meals and a bathroom. You disgust me, Mayor Durkin, and I hope you listen to this little clip and you consider waking up tomorrow and instead of talking about how we shouldn't use people as political pawns, you should consider the children that are outside in your community that you have been using for pawns for a year and a half.
Couldn't say it any better myself. Couldn't say it any better myself. She does exactly what she accuses Trump of doing. She does it the exact same way she accuses the president of. And what I loved about this stupid article, this laughable piece of propaganda, she has the audacity to say in the Washington Post that the Trump administration can learn a thing or two from her own. And yet mysteriously missing from this article are all the damning statistics of homelessness, traffic congestion, rape, robbery, property crime, murder, all trending in the wrong direction. And that happened under her watch. If the president were to learn from you, Mayor Jenny Durkin, our murder rate would go up, our rape rate would go up, our robbery rate would go up, our property crime rate would go up, traffic congestion would be worse. all across the country, and our homelessness problem would explode. You're not one to offer suggestions on how to run anything. Your office is run by incompetent buffoons who protect you in a little echo chamber to the point where you are so thin-skinned, Mayor Jenny Durkan. You wouldn't dare to talk to someone like me or Saul Spady or Michael Medved. You wouldn't dare talk to anyone who might push back at the nonsense that has come out of your mouth and out of your office. The lies that you've told over and over and over again. The meetings that you hide from the public. You are in no position to give any advice to anyone. Look in a mirror and realize the errors of your own way. If you want to read this story and help me shine a spotlight on this nonsense, this abject nonsense, text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to the number 1-800-465-8770. Keep those text messages coming, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending on Planet Sawan?
Shama Sawan unveiled new plans, and by new I mean plans she's unveiled multiple times and haven't really gone anywhere, for rent control. Joining me in studio with more, Aaron Granillo from our sister station, Cairo Radio. What'd you find out today?
So today, Shama Sawan had a news conference at City Hall where she, again, as you mentioned, she reintroduced her calls for rent control in the city. She had a bunch of people who were there on her side, from landlords to tenants who've been kicked out of their properties because of rising rent prices, to union members who are all want to see rent control enacted in the city. And as you mentioned, that is not allowed right now due to state law.
Yeah, and that hasn't changed.
Correct. Nothing has changed
over the course of the last few years, and where you say she reintroduced. She reintroduced a reintroduction of a reintroduction of her original plan of rent control, which has no support data to support it actually works anywhere it's being used here in the United States. But let's hear from her.
Well, she would say otherwise.
Well, she's a liar, but yes. Okay, continue.
This is one aspect of her plan right here.
The rent may not increase any more than the rate of inflation. We will be joining cities like Los Angeles, which already have such a policy in place. The date, effective date, would be the moment the state ban is lifted. All residential rental homes will be covered.
So again, saying that her proposal would be enacted when, or in this case, if ever, the state legislature lifts that ban. That does not appear to be likely. There was no bill introduced.
It's 100% not going to happen. And this is one of those ploys where she puts it out there to brand herself. And she's very, very good at branding herself as the socialist who stands on the side of certain types of issues. This is one of her issues. She brings up L.A. It's where it's being used in a portion of L.A. has been a total failure. Number two, it seems rather disingenuous to come up with a bill that will say in the future, when we have a completely different council, that we will enact this bill if it were to happen. So it's really trying to take away the rights of a future council to come up with their own solution.
I think what she is saying is if the city council were to enact this ordinance, it would put even more pressure on Olympia.
It wouldn't.
That's not what she says.
It hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. I can only say what she said at today's news conference. So, and then also what she said is she's trying to build this movement. That's why. And I also would venture to say, you know, this is obviously a re-election year for her.
Yeah. That's only what this is about. To be fair to her, again, I give her credit for being so on brand and on point. She does not veer off of the message when she has it. And that's really hard to do for politicians.
And this speaks to her base. I mean, this is, you know, she represents the Central District where a lot of families are being displaced, and she wants to help them. So here's what she says. She says she's building a movement.
Building a fighting movement to win rent control in Seattle this year, effective the moment the state ban is repealed, will put immense pressure on Olympia to repeal the ban. We saw the momentum that rent control got in 2015 when Councilmember Nick Licata and I debated against the right wing. That same year, my office put forward a resolution urging the state legislature to lift the ban.
And then she goes on to say that resolution was indeed embraced by the city council.
Does she ever mention who the right wing is exactly? And so there's certainly no conservative in office right now on the council.
Mm-hmm.
So there was no one there who was getting in her way. The people getting in her way were other progressives.
Yeah.
We don't really have many right-wingers, even in Washington State, in Olympia. You've got a few that represent mostly the east side, but we don't have the power in Olympia. She likes to go after the right wing, but I think she's using the right wing, frankly, the same way a lot of conservatives use socialists, just to say, the evil socialist agenda. That's what she's doing here.
I think she would say that's what she's most frustrated about, is the fact that there aren't that many right-wingers now in the state legislature. Of course, the House, the Senate, the governor's mansion, they're all run by Democrats right now, and she's still feeling frustrated that she can't get this done.
How receptive were the people she bussed into her in her event today?
I don't know if they were bussed in.
They might have biked.
They may have biked.
Maybe that's Metro. I'll give them that.
Perhaps.
How big was the crowd?
I would say there were about 20 to 30 people that were on her side.
That's it?
Yes.
Was this at
City Hall?
Okay. So this was more of a press conference for the media.
News conference. It wasn't just some organic, rally,
sure,
or anything like that. It was at City Hall, in the lobby. Yeah.
So what are next steps for her?
Here are her next steps.
We're going to launch an online campaign where we will have renters, individual renters, and you don't need to be a big name. You just need to be a renter who's struggling to pay rent in our city to tell your rent hike story.
And then, of course, online petitions as well. And she cites there seems to be a growing movement. She cites Oregon, which just passed a statewide rent control law themselves over there.
Yeah, well, good news about Oregon is we'll be able to find out whether or not that fails or succeeds in the next few months once it actually... When does that go into... It's implemented, I believe, at the end of the year, if not maybe sooner. It's not going to be long before we have...
We'll have some evidence of how it's working or not working in Oregon.
At least on a statewide level, which even success or failure, to be fair. I don't know if we should actually take a city and compare it to an entire state policy. It makes more sense to do city to city. And we've seen the way it's being used in San Francisco, LA and New York, and it's not been a success. It flatly has not been a success, unless we want to be more like San Francisco. What are the rents right now in San Francisco? Because they're higher than they are here.
No, it's a fair point.
There you go. The piece right now is up at mynorthwest.com. If you want to join the movement and maybe send out your own story of how you're a renter who chose to go into an apartment that you can't afford, only then to complain about the cost of rent. Aaron Ganillo, however, on his piece, much less bias in it because he's the reporter and I'm the talk show host. Aaron, thanks for stopping by.
You got it.
You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. Time to find out what else is trending.
What's trending? The sports ball.
So now that I actually have some time to talk about this, the Sounders continued their unbeaten streak over the weekend with a 3-2 win over a team that, to be honest, was probably the first real good team that they faced. They took on Toronto FC. And what I find interesting about this is we live in a city that is supposedly notorious for jumping on bandwagons, right? This is the team that, after the Seahawks go to the Super Bowl and win, everyone's feeling Seahawks fever. The Mariners, all of a sudden, even though they didn't have the best weekend that they've... It was a rough weekend. But still, people are showing all of this excitement. And yet, you've got the Sounders in the fastest-growing sport in the United States, the most popular sport in the entire world. And I feel like no one's talking at all. Even the bandwagon people aren't getting excited about this winning streak.
You're wrong. The fast-growing sport is Fortnite. It's not soccer.
Okay, that's not a sport, but continue. But I mean, am I wrong that it is weird in this city, in Seattle, people are not really talking about the Sounders when we generally like to jump on bandwagons? It just feels like, for whatever reason, they're not jumping on this. And I know people love to say, oh, well, soccer's not a sport. Well, you woke dopes of Seattle got all... pretended to get all interested in the WNBA and the Storm. Why aren't you at least pretending to get interested in Sounders? Yeah,
pretend?
over the last season when they got to the
I think when they got to the championship game, I think people tweeted about it, but
I'm just not seeing the... Will Bruin scored 2 goals. Christian Roldan scored. It was a great game.
I see on my Twitter feed, I see much more Sounders than
it's so weird because Storm.
That's
so weird because I don't see, and I'm the one who follows a whole bunch of Sounders stuff, and I just didn't get the same, I don't get the same feeling of excitement, certainly not in any respect to what the Mariners are delivering, The Mariners, who have no one knows any of the names of any of the players of the Mariners. You know who's on the Sounders. You don't know any of the names of the players. I don't think
don't
most
speak
people,
for everyone.
Most people don't know any of the Mariners players. You know more about the Sounders than you should. You stalked Jordan Morris this weekend. Homegrown player for Mercer Island, big star. You were taking creepy photos of him Saturday night at a club.
I was.
Yeah, that's weird.
I mean, that's
debatable. That's weird. I sent him the photos you sent, and he said, that freaks me out. I'm now blocking you and Tom. So thanks a lot.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to understand him a little better.
Okay. You're listening to the Jason Rancho. Welcome back to the Jason Rancho on AM 770, KTTH, and 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side. Seattle police are investigating a bias incident at South Seattle College when the chapter president of Turning Point USA was actually harassed and seemingly stalked by what we believe to be a progressive activist, upset that she dare have a different political view than he does. Katie Davis Court is the student, and she joins me now. Katie, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited. I watch your show all the time.
Oh, I appreciate that. It sounds incredibly scary. You had to hide from this dude to call 911. Take us through exactly what happened, how it all started.
I was tabling for the Turning Point USA chapter in Olympia Hall when this man decided to come up to the table and he started having an argument with us about our big government sucks sign. He hated the sign. He started vandalizing our table and trying to take the posters off. And the second he takes the big government sucks sign, I let him know, sir, that is actually my own personal property. And stealing the big government sucks sign or taking it down could get you arrested. And that seemed to trigger him like no end because he ends up taking the sign and he runs out the building. So I follow him out the building so I can snap a photo of him just for future reference. And he actually ends up giving the sign back and I get his photo, crystal clear shot. And I thought that was the end of the discussion. At this point, I'm at the table by myself. My vice president left and he comes back into the building three more times to harass me about big government and how my views are super contradictory to my beliefs and I shouldn't be allowed to utilize our police department. And so that was very interesting. And
how old is this person?
I actually very value our police department, military, and fire department.
Yeah.
And he just kept saying, going on a tirade about my views and how they're too contradictory, really. Then he finally leaves. So I go out to put the supplies in my car, and all of a sudden, this car comes flying at me, and I'm going, oh, wow, what is going on? That car just almost hit me.
Wow.
And as he's turning the corner, he is in his vehicle staring me down, and I go, oh, my God, that guy is coming for me. And I should have ran back into the building. I don't know what I was thinking. I continue to go to my car and it's a lot that's like in the distance. So I'm walking in my good heart. I was like, I pray for that guy. You know, he obviously is crazy. I thought that was the end of him. I was wrong. All of a sudden I hear a car come speeding at me at full speed behind me, slamming on the brakes and taking a sharp right turn. And I turn around. It's him again staring me down. And at that point, I know I have an issue. And this guy is either trying to run me over as a pedestrian or instill fear that he's running me over. So I make it to my car and he's driving erratically through the parking lot. He parks at the end of the parking lot and he's just staring me down. So I make it to my car and I start hiding behind other cars. I try to get a photo of his license plate. And then that's when I call 911 because I'm like, if this guy isn't going to hit me as a pedestrian, he's probably going to try to ram me when I back out.
Yeah.
When I'm in my car. And so I try to make it back to campus. And you can see in the videos, I'm walking really slow, trying to be out of his sight. And then I start running because the second he catches a glimpse of me, he guns his vehicle down the parking lot. And I feel really bad because he ended up running into this young woman's vehicle as she was taking a right turn and then hit and run. He fled the scene, and that's the last I've heard anything. I haven't heard anything from police, nothing.
Well, I spoke with the police this morning. It's an open case. They don't have any suspects, but you do have a photo of the individual. Does this look like someone who might be a student? How old is this guy?
Yes, I think he's a student. The campus police believe that they know who this student is and are planning. I don't know if I can say this on the radio. I don't know if I can say their plans, but are planning to take action against this man today if he shows up to class, which I doubt he will. And this guy, he's in his late 20s. Well, that's my guess from the picture I took of him. Late 20s.
Mm-hmm. So one of those older students who comes back to harass younger students. From your perspective, yep. I mean, how do you feel right now that this guy is still out there?
You know, I'm trying to put on a brave face for media, but I actually have really bad PTSD from it. And it's very nerve-wracking that he's still out there because he knows my car, and I don't know. Mm-hmm. He's crazy. I don't know if he got a photo of my license plate. I don't know what's going on. He's just on the loose. He clearly, when he went to the bathroom, when he was harassing me, he came back and he had extra erratic behavior. So, you know, living in Seattle, you can only think that this guy most likely did something that would enhance his mental capacity in the bathroom as the second time he came out. So I'm assuming he is mentally altered during this encounter, but yeah, it's very frightening. I'm scared. I wanted to file a police or a restraining order against this man, and the police couldn't give me any answers, and they just told me if I see him I need to hide and call 911. It's a very scary situation.
Yeah, and I can tell from your voice that you're still incredibly shaken up by this, and I saw some of the video that you had sent, and we'll have it up at KTTH.com later tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
I mean, just you know, this guy is clearly speeding. You clearly are rushing to get away. Was there anyone else around you that you were able, like, where did you go once you were able to get out of that parking lot?
When I got out of the parking lot, I just walked back onto campus, and actually, there are about probably 10 witnesses. So one of the witnesses were able to get a snapshot of his license plate. Sure. Actually, a teacher in the third floor saw the entire thing happen when he noticed a car was going super AWOL in the parking lot. And he actually made a call into campus security before he even knew what was really going on. And this man was coming after me. So everything's on camera. I have tons of witnesses. It's a horrible situation. No local news is really reporting on it. And I just feel like if I was a member of a different political party, it would make mm-hmm. headlines everywhere.
You're probably right. The only person the only outlet that I've seen cover this was Breitbart, which is how I learned of this. And by the way, if you're just joining us, we're talking with Katie Davis Court. She's a student at South Seattle College, where last week on Thursday, she was harassed and then stalked by some, I'm assuming a progressive student, who was upset that she was, you know, the chapter president putting out Turning Point USA material. I'm just kind of curious, because you don't take the position that he was harassing you simply by disagreeing. You take the point that he was erratic and then was following you.
Yes, he had very odd motivations against me. And I don't know what political party he follows, but I know it's not mine. And I know my views trigger him like no other, because who tries to run someone over with a vehicle? I just think, what's the difference between somebody coming at you with a vehicle or somebody coming at you with a gun? I mean, they're both major weapons.
Although, presumably, you're not allowed to have a gun on campus, but you can have a car.
Exactly. Yay. Well, let's go after everyone with our cars.
So obviously you decided to start or at least lead Turning Point USA because of their message on big government. From your perspective as a mm-hmm. student there, how open is the college campus to hearing a different point of view? Just last week, we did two stories, ironically. Number one was University of Washington College Republican president said, despite there being an increase in aggressive and violent behavior against conservatives on campus, they're moving forward. And that very night, Michael Knowles from the Daily Wire was attacked at a college campus. And then it turns out also on that very night, or at least later in that afternoon, you were attacked or almost attacked.
Wow. Yep. Wow. It blows my mind.
What's the campus like?
I don't know what's going on in this country, but change needs to happen.
Well, what's the campus like as far as in relationship to how they view conservatives?
Yeah, so I have yet to meet a conservative teacher. We had my vice president was able to get one of her teachers to sign off on our club, so I feel like he's open-minded. I had a faculty member on Thursday come up to our booth and say, he told me that he had been here for 8 years and have never seen an opposing view. And I just feel like I thought, I mean, who am I? I might just be the most naive individual, but I wanted to bring this Turning Point USA chapter to the campus because I felt like they were actually very inclusive of everyone's beliefs, but they actually still have yet to make the club official. On campus, it's been under review for quite a while, but we all thought we had exercised our First Amendment rights and get it going. So, yeah, I mean, my teachers, they're very kind. I don't think they have conservative values, but they haven't harassed me yet. So I'm lucky, but I can't say that for other students.
Well, look, we wish you the absolute best of luck. I know that you're going through a tough time right now because of this. I'm assuming you agree. He was stalking you, right? I mean, it gives the indication that he was waiting out in the parking lot for you.
Yes, he waited for me until I was in clear, plain sight and probably, I'm assuming, a good straight path to my body as he's charging at me with his vehicle.
It's insane.
So he was waiting. Oh, yeah, it's insane.
Well, I'm glad that at least you got the photo of him, and I know that the Seattle Police Department, they're taking this seriously. They are investigating, so that's the good news. Once you actually are able to identify him, that's when you can go ahead and go through the court to get a restraining order. But hopefully the system doesn't fail you. They'll find out who it is. It sounds like they have some leads according to this conversation. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show. We're live in the Online Trading Academy studio. We're literally seeing history burn to the ground. The fire has gotten under control, but not before it took a huge toll at Notre Dame in Paris. And it's happening at a very inopportune time, right? A bad time. It's Holy Week. Millions of Western Christians mark the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But getting in the way of the services this week is this horrible image of Notre Dame on fire. And we're starting to hear more and more from witnesses now.
I knew that it would collapse. It was on fire for a good long time, and most of the structure around it evaporated and became a kind of skeleton.
Now, there's a lot of concern about the artifacts and art in the building. Father James Martin is the editor-at-large of the Catholic news organization America Media.
By tradition, they have a relic of the true cross, the cross on which Christ was crucified. There are pieces of that scattered throughout the world, and the crown of thorns.
But it's more than just that.
Beyond the relics, which are priceless, would be things like the stained glass windows and the statues. And it really is the entire building is a work of art, and so it's very hard to separate out what's valuable and what's not valuable. I frankly couldn't believe it what I was watching this afternoon. I felt like crying.
So I suppose there's some good news in this if you choose to look at this as sort of glass half full approach, right? Number one, there's no reports of injuries or deaths, so that's incredibly, we're all grateful for that. This is obviously a place that a lot of people go to, tourists and alike. But on top of that, it seems like they were able to at least spare some of the art. We don't know exactly how much of the art or the artifacts were impacted, but a lot of the art was already removed. Here's Adam Plowright. He's a reporter based in Paris.
Notre Dame Cathedral was undergoing a major renovation project. We saw images last week of statues being removed from the spire at the cathedral, the spire that's since been destroyed and collapsed. This was a long-running renovation project, and the fire service have indicated it could be connected to that.
So that is what they're saying right now, late in the evening for them. It's early in the morning at this point, early in the sort of a little after midnight. They're about 8 or 9 hours ahead of us. they believe that it was unintentional, that it was an accident. They just don't have all the details yet. And before we found that out, some people, including the deputy mayor of a city in France, Philippe Carcente, he was on Fox News and Shepard Smith and trying to sort of speculate as to what happened, got almost immediately shut down.
You need to know that for the past years, we had churches desecrated each and every week in France, all over France. So, of course, you will hear the story about the political correctness, which will tell you that it's probably an accident.
Sir, we're not going to speculate here of the cause of something which we don't know. If you have observations or you know something, we would love to hear it.
No, I'm just telling you something. What you need to be ready.
No, sir. We're not doing that here. Not now. Okay. Not on my watch.
Okay. You're very holier than thou, Shep Smith. All he was doing was providing some context to what was going on. And it seems like that's pretty relevant. If there were a rash of churches or places of worship that were being desecrated on a weekly basis.
It's a great question.
It feels like you can point it out. He didn't get the opportunity to say, maybe he was going down this direction of, don't you believe anything, understand that this was a targeted. That's not what he was saying. He was just giving some important context. And I don't know, Shep Smith has a chip on his shoulder. He doesn't like where he works. You know who?
Oh, he hates it.
You know who would happily take that job?
You.
Yep. You know who's really good on TV?
Me.
Me. It's a Jason Rancho.